Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, Fall Guy.
Have you got a big dongle?
I do, but it's forked.
Have you forked a repo?
Not recently.
Not sure if we're even really going to do that story. We might not.
So ridiculous.
Happy birthday, Pentium.
How old is Pentium?
20.
Wait, no, 20.
30. Yeah,
20. 20. Oh, yeah, that figures.
It was Pentium's birthday a few days ago when we were recording, so like a week ago when this comes out. Yeah, but
God, so useless.
Well, you know, it wasn't its birthday yet when the last show came out, so it had to kind of be old.
I wonder when will be the birthday of my first Pentium, which was a Pentium 133, I think. A couple of years from now, I'd say. Don't think I got it straight away.
Let's see. Can I remember what my processors were? Because, of course, I had 486SX25, but then after that, I think I might have had a funny one. Now, did I have a DX4100?
I had a 486DX266, and then I managed to upgrade it to a 486DX4100.
Yeah, I had a DX4100. I feel like...
Do you know how much RAM I had in my DX4?
You had 4 megabytes.
20 megabytes.
Golly, 20 megabytes.
20 megs.
I think I had...
I was fucking rolling in RAM.
I think I had 8 when I had my SX25.
I could make RAM disks.
Holy wow. That's fast.
I had that much RAM, I could make a RAM disk. I was like, oh, check it out, my RAM disk. Look how fast I can zip a file onto it and off of it.
And if you think about the speed of memory from the time, by comparison with today's SSDs even. I mean, it was...
by comparison with today's SD cards.
Yeah. I mean, a micro SD card even. You know, something smaller than your thumbnail.
Oh, it was an exciting time, though, wasn't it? An exciting time.
My first hard drive was 120 megabytes.
Mine was 20.
Golly, golly.
And on that 20 meg hard drive, we've probably discussed this before because I constantly bring it up. Maybe I don't. I don't know. Whatever. I had Windows 3.0, DOS, obviously. I had a couple of games. One was a golf game called Real Golf, I think, and the other was a game called Crime Wave.
Yeah.
I had CorelDRAW.
Yeah.
I think I had MS Flight Sim.
Yeah.
And I had room for much, much more.
Yep, absolutely amazing.
On my 20 megabyte hard disk. At one point, when I started pimping up my computers, when I used to get spare bits, you know, I had a computer at one point that had like 2 hard drives in it. They were probably like a 20 and a 40 megabyte or something.
Yeah.
And I had 2 floppy drives because fuck yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I remember having 2 floppies. Yeah, sure.
I remember the excitement I had when I got a Verge. S3 Verge graphics card or whatever it was.
VLC, bro.
Oh, man. Some good shit.
Wait, was it VLC?
No.
Not VLC. What am I thinking of? VL Bus?
VLC. Oh, Visa Bus? No.
Visa Bus? It was called... It had another name, though, didn't it? Wasn't it called VL?
I don't know.
Visa Local. Yeah, VL Bus.
Visa Local Bus, yes.
Yeah, there we go. We got there in the end. But, yeah, PCI. When we got to PCI, because I guess the S3 was a PCI...
Yeah,
video card, right?
Probably.
I think so. I think God, I might have had an S3.
I had lots of computers at lots of stages. I also remember when I went to AMD, when I got an AMD K6 266, I think, or 233 maybe. And that was that time when the AMD was the new kid on the block and everyone was like, oh, AMD's a bit shit. And I was like, no, fuck you. Look at my 266 megahertz processor, you bitches. 233, whatever it was.
So I had a Trident 8900 C, I think, and that could do Super VGA. Not just VGA, but Super VGA.
Yeah. That resolution, all those colours.
That was an exciting time, man, I tell you what. I remember when I went and got... So the computer that I mean, obviously my first computer was not a PC. My first computer actually was an Amstrad in the mid-80s, but the first PC computer that I... You know, bought for myself was that SX25, and I bought it from PC Direct in town, and I got like a full tower case, which was brilliant foresight on my part, because of course, as a, you know, a mid-teen boy in the early 1990s, I wanted to stuff things in it. All sorts of things. Everything.
Computer
I could
things
find.
Or you wanted to hide stuff in it?
Computer things.
Okay.
Computer things. And I very slowly, you know, as I sort of somehow managed to scrape together money, did things like buy a Sound Blaster 16.
Oh, yeah, man.
Man, Sound it sounded Blaster. Good.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
But my favorite, I remember when before I could afford a Sound Blaster. In fact, there was another option. If you didn't get the Sound Blaster, you could get some other, what was it?
Turtle Beach?
No, there was some other, like it was the second to the Sound Blaster. It was, I can't even remember. I think I ended up getting bought by Sound Blaster in the end. It wasn't as good because it didn't have the same sort of synthesis on it.
16-bit testing.
But some of the games I had, the golf one had what's called real sound, where it could do sound through the PC speaker. Mm. It wasn't very good. And there was also a thing you could find instructions on BBSs about how to like make your own parallel port A to D that you could then use a driver for and have sound out of speaker out of your parallel port.
Yeah. Yeah, with a whole lot of diodes, basically, just sort of...
Yeah, something like that. It was crazy. I never did one.
I remember Adam Surname did one. He was one of the developers at iHack. He made one of them. And I don't know, man. It seems like it's a difficult thing to do, actually, put something like that together.
Yeah. Oh, Adlib sound card.
That sounds right. Yeah, I never had one of them.
And Adlib was the market leader, and then Sound Blaster overtook them, and Adlib never quite caught up.
Mm.
That's my recollection.
And the chat room says, remember when you got your first CD-ROM drive? Everything seems to cost about the same. Everything... Now, let's see. I think everything was about $400. Like, a sound card was about $400. And some extra...
I guess that was the price at which something became reachable. Because you could obviously get them before that when they were super expensive.
Yeah.
I remember when one of my friends at school, his dad, because he was a computer, was a developer. And this was in, like, 1994, 95, I guess. He had a CD writer before that was... Must be 94, and even 93, maybe.
Wow, that's really early.
Yeah, and so he'd bring things from home on CDs, and it'd be like sound files and stuff that he'd, because he had some way of ripping them off the computer or ripping off the TV and things. Oh, man, it was crazy.
I don't actually remember exactly when I got my first CD-ROM drive.
No, I'm not sure either. I do remember, because obviously there was a period of time when I was working at iHug, still a teenager, so still living at home, earning... shitloads of money, but you know,
not being paid very well, but sort of feeling like you had more than you did.
Well, having a full-time job for the first time, having no particular expenses at all, and working essentially next door to a computer shop.
Terrible computer shop.
That was some exciting times. That terrible. Was a good computer shop at the time.
Gamma Computers was terrible. Well, I mean, okay, I guess it sort of was, but I shouldn't be too specific about what I disliked about the place.
Yes,
but there were things that I strongly disliked about Gamma Computers, and later on they were not good at all, you know. And
they're still there. They still struggle by, I think.
Yeah, I'm amazed by that. I don't understand how they do.
When I first bought my first hard drive, it was a 4.3 gig Quantum Bigfoot. My first big hard drive.
Yep, I had a Bigfoot. I had an 800 meg before I got the Bigfoot though.
I put that on layby at Dr. Floppy in Upper Queen Street.
Wow. Dr. Floppy, I think, is where I got my first Linux disks.
Yeah, I got some Linux disks from there as well.
A big fucking stack of them. Because they were you know, one and whatever size floppies, compact floppies.
1.4 megs.
Yeah, like 18 of them or something.
Yeah.
Some ridiculous number. And I on that 120 meg hard drive, I dual booted Windows 3.11 and Slackware.
I remember installing Windows NT 4.0 off floppy disks.
Yeah.
Ugh, insanity.
I loved NT4. NT4 was brilliant. And I used it very happily until I moved to Windows 2000.
Yeah, same. Yeah. NT4 was my preference, and then up to Windows 2000. And Windows ME, man, I loved ME.
So let's see. My dad from the chat room. My dad paid like $5,000 for a 20 meg hard drive plus 386 CPU add-on thing for the Amiga 500. So we could run DOS stuff on the Amiga.
That seems like a splendid expenditure. We, my father got talked into buying a computer secondhand. It was an IBM PCJR. It was actually a PCJX, but it's more commonly known. That was the Japanese version of what in America is called the PC Junior,
yeah.
Which was a not quite compatible. It was an IBM machine that wasn't quite an IBM compatible.
Yeah.
So it had DOS and it had some things on it, but you couldn't, like, because he, being a plain nut at the time, also went out and spent some stupid amount of money on Microsoft Flight Sim. Which could not run on the computer. But that computer had a wireless mouse and a wireless keyboard in 1988 or 89 or whatever that was. Right.
I love Flight Sim so much.
What's that?
I love Flight Sim so much.
Yeah, great.
And I remember, coincidentally enough, with, you know, later happenings, flying it into buildings. And I think that you just flew right through.
Yeah, there were different variances depending on what version you had. Some of them, there were some early versions, I think, where buildings weren't really...
They weren't really there.
Weren't really there. And then there were later ones where building, you just kind of, you'd hit it and fall to the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens if you fly into buildings now. There's probably an awesome explosion and big fly around in slow motion replay. Who the fuck knows?
Or maybe it's just not possible. Maybe something in the game just sort of turns you away. The hand of God.
The invisible hand of God.
The hand of Allah. I didn't say that.
No.
I regret it, whatever I said.
I'm sure you didn't. I had Lotus 1-2-3 at one stage as well. Fuck knows what that was for.
Why would you have Lotus 1-2-3?
I don't know. It was some software. So in 1990, when I got my 286, my father basically bought it for me because it was clear that I was the only one who was going to use a computer.
Yeah.
And he had some friend he knew who knew about computers, so he came and helped me set it up and showed me how to use it. And he gave me some software. One of the things was Lotus 1-2-3. Fuck knows why I'd ever need Lotus 1-2-3.
All right. What did I have? I had my favorite app actually from back then, and this will tell you what I liked to do, was Terminate, aka Terminate.
Oh, right, yeah, the dialer app.
Yep. I loved that app so much. So much. And Z modem, Z Zap X modem, all those other modems.
Was it Kermit? Z modem? One of them you could download pictures and it would show you the picture as it was downloading.
Yeah, Z modem.
Z modem did that?
Yep.
Very good for BBS porn.
Yeah. Be like, oh god damn it, swimsuit.
Exactly. Cancel download.
Cancel, god damn it. I've only got 20 minutes on this thing.
Find another still image.
Yeah. Another really tame, very gentle.
Maybe I donated a modem or something. I did something to get like lifetime subscriber access to the Edge BBS.
Yeah.
Which had like, I don't know, 5 dial-in lines and had like a CD changer with this huge collection of shareware on it.
Yeah, madness.
And then there was another BBS I used to use, I think it might have been called Heavy Artillery, that had a quite a strong trade in wares, but you had to know the right people to get access to it.
Yeah,
not the BBS, naturally. But that part of the BBS.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah.
And yep. BBS parties. Oh god.
I remember the confusion before I finally managed to get a decent BBS list.
Yes.
They weren't necessarily easy to find good ones.
how did we get them? I remember having printed BBS lists. Yeah. Where did they come from?
I don't know. It was just one of those things. The kids of today, they have no understanding of how difficult things were.
God, I just remember trying, like, just constantly redialing, trying to get into a BBS that you wanted to be into.
Yeah.
And I even remember when we got a second, when I convinced my parents to get a second phone line.
Oh, I remember that when you'd join a new BBS, of course, I mean, I'm sure we all went and tried all of them, right? But they would do callback verification. But, of course, because I was pretty much routinely doing it at 2 or 3 in the morning, there was just, you know, I'd sprint up the hall. I don't remember what I was doing to the phone, but maybe putting it on silent so that I wouldn't disrupt my mother so that, you know, she wouldn't find out that I was up late at night modeming into, hives of villainy.
Yes, they were.
Dale in the chat room says Z modem downloads at 2400
15 board minutes.
232 characters per second equals 872 kilobits per hour.
Yeah, fucking hell. That's how do not we much, do anything? Oh my god.
Well, I never did that. I never had a 2400. I had a 14.4.
My first was
and
a
I probably paid $400 for it.
I had a 2400 and I was infuriated because it was a 2400 modem, but it was a fax modem and it could do fax at 9600. And I was like, why can it do fax at 9600 but not modem at 9600?
Bastards.
Yeah, then I probably jumped straight to a 14.4 after that.
Yeah, I was very happy with my 14.4.
My 56K modem. I didn't get my 56K modem until I started working at iHug and I got a spare, I got a second hand one out of the rack there.
One of the externals.
When I say rack, I mean shelf.
Yeah.
Oh, no, maybe I had one before that. I was always adamant about external modems, though. I never wanted an internal one. Always wanted externals.
Because
I liked to be able to turn them off.
Yeah. There was something more romantic about an external. All the blinking lights.
Yeah, that was helpful. You could see immediately what was going on. You're like, look at that. It's sending all those packets and none are being received. Something's gone wrong. Switch the modem off. Switch it on again.
Yeah.
Do something else. Man. And I used to use the computer. My children will never know a time when not only were computers not ubiquitous and in their hands, but when the internet wasn't there. I remember using computers for hours and hours at a time before I even had a modem. Yeah. If the internet goes away for 3 minutes now, I feel like my hands have been chopped off. Like, honestly, when we had a power outage at work the other day and so the Wi-Fi wasn't working. Well, the Wi-Fi was working, but the firewall machine wasn't.
Yeah.
So the Wi-Fi routers were still running, but the firewall machine was down. So the Wi-Fi would, so my phone would connect to the Wi-Fi, of course, but it wouldn't go anywhere. And I just remember, like, three or four times just, like, starting up either, like, a Twitter app or a Facebook app and then suddenly remembering that there was no internet connection.
Yeah.
Just being like, fuck. I don't know. I was seriously wondering what I'm going to do on a plane for 18 hours or however the fuck long it is I'm going to spend on a plane going to the States without internet.
I suggest sleeping, but, you know.
I'll try.
Figure out your time zone, I guess.
I'm going to load a bunch of burn notice on an SD card and take them with me.
Burn notice. Not something better.
No, I'm really enjoying Burn Notice. I've been binging on it. I started watching it on Netflix, and I'm like almost up to season 5 now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to criticise you. I've probably watched all of it, and, you know, it's not that I'm unhappy with it. I just think, you know, there are...
To be honest, the main reason is that I followed one of the editors of it on Twitter and
listen to him
on podcasts sometimes, and Netflix, I was just scrolling through Netflix and it was there and I was like, oh, finally I can figure out what this show is he talks about.
Yeah. Kevin in the chat room says, Burn Notice, is this generation's MacGyver?
Yeah, sort of. I enjoy it.
Yeah. It's a show I've been enjoying is Meat Eater.
Tell me more.
Yeah, well, it's a real reality show, not a fake reality show, where a guy wanders around in the wilderness with a rifle, shoots an animal, then guts and skins it and cuts bits off and cooks them and eats them.
Does he drink his own piss?
Nope. No. Hmm. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
He's not lost. It's intentional for him to be out in the wilderness. He is hunting. He's intending to kill things and eat them.
Well, then.
You know, he takes, like, a tent and and so on. He doesn't
and
have
a camera
to...
And, crew?
Yeah.
You know, my favourite... My favourite thing, I liked Survivor Man, but my favourite thing about Survivor Man was watching him try to make the show by himself.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck. Just, I watch that and I think of the logistics of doing what he's doing, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's a hell of an undertaking.
But easier now with the new GoPros.
Is he using them? I don't know. Is Survivor Man still on?
I have no idea, but the that Wi-Fi remote preview and control functionality and... Well, I guess you probably could have done that already with the Wi-Fi backs, maybe, but certainly
you could. You the Wi-Fi backs are quite recent. I mean,
with the Hero 3, obviously it's built in, and it is just amazing. It is so cool.
Yeah, I think still half the problem though is even it's not just knowing where the cameras are and what they can see. It's actually putting them places and then doing things that you need to do in front of them and then moving them and doing that again.
Yeah,
Craziness.
And then again and again and again and again. So many setups. Yeah.
So what else was there? That was Happy Birthday Pentium. Yep. That ridiculous rat hole that we just stumbled upon.
I really liked it. I actually kind of hoped that you may have noticed that I didn't do anything to kill it. I was kind of hoping that we would just continue it and get
spend an hour talking about
technology. Yeah, do no news at all. I thought that would be really funny if we actually had a technology podcast and a kind of a historical technology podcast. I thought that'd be cool.
The problem is that we're drawing to the end of my ability to remember these things. We could just diverge now into telling ridiculous stories about the formative years of iHug, but I don't think anyone needs us to do that.
We'd have to be so careful.
Which in itself is kind of amusing.
Yeah.
Those things, like, for example, you wouldn't want to mention, you know, what's his name and the time he invited what's her name to do a line of speed off his cock.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to mention that at all.
No.
That wasn't at work.
Wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. Maybe it was. Fuck. Could have been. Wouldn't surprise me. You wouldn't want to mention, well, no, I think we already have mentioned the times that I don't know about other people, but I used to occasionally go into work and just, for fun, switch off random modems. A terrible thing to do.
Well, I didn't do it randomly. I did it because I had a printout that showed me all of the locked up modems, and I'd have to crawl around behind the racks resetting them.
That's good too.
I was more diligent than some people. Some people were just like, oh, there's one off on this shelf, so I'll just turn all
the entire shelf off.
I guess it was probably 25 lines per shelf. Maybe it was 30 lines per shelf.
There must be photos of those around. These custom wood, you know, MDF shelves
full made of by externals.
A furniture maker.
Yeah.
Custom made for us by iHug, and then stacked full of external modems.
Yeah. And terminal servers.
And terminal servers, yes. Yeah. So they had terminal servers had what, like an ISDN line going in and a bunch of terminal servers with the modems connected the modems to the networking gear. And then there was also, wasn't there a device that broke out an ISDN into the phone lines or something? There wasn't like a million POTS telephone connections. There was some other.
Was it ISDN? That doesn't sound right.
No, I don't know what it was. Some sort of multiple connection line then broken out into individual connections.
So a question from the chat room, wasn't it a staffer tripping over the power cables?
Oh, that happened on more than one occasion. Yeah.
And also when...
But that was much later. That was when it was racks full of max boxes, which were, what, 60?
60 lines.
60 lines per max box, and a rack about would have the size three of a max VCR. Boxes in it, maybe?
Yeah, they were amazing. Those things, they were amazing. And the first one was like $150,000.
Yeah.
And the second one was about $80,000.
Yeah. And then after a while, they were lying around.
Ah, the smell of melting solder when you walked into iHug. I don't remember that.
There was something, though. There was definitely some sort of... It was some hot dust kind of thing.
Asbestos.
Yeah, probably asbestos. That wouldn't surprise me.
Kevin in the chat room says, isn't that how the website server got hacked?
Don't want to talk about that. How did the website server get hacked? Crash. I think calling it Crash was a bad omen.
It was an excellent name for it because it didn't. I was in Vanuatu when the homepages .ihug.co.nz was taken down. It was one of my servers and I was responsible for it. And so I was delighted to come back and have had all the cleanup work already done. But I was not delighted for some fucking dickhead to have beaten up on the server for really stupid reasons. Like he said that his girlfriend had been mistreated or something. Like someone had been rude. Wasn't it?
Didn't he go on homes and shit? It was what's his name? JJ.
Shark Dog or whatever the fuck
he called himself. That's right, it wasn't JJ. Yeah, Shark Dog. And I knew him from somewhere.
Yeah.
BBS isn't shit probably.
Yeah. What a dickhead.
And he knew a bunch of people at iHug.
Yep. Yeah, and he knew better as well. Well, I mean, he has to have known better. But, I mean, so he did that. He took down, like, 20,000 people's homepage because someone on the help desk was rude to his girlfriend. What a dickhead. Seriously.
I don't know if you remember, when I was working in the help desk, someone wrote a letter to NetGuide, which is, the big publication of the time. Does it still exist? I don't know, maybe. Outlining a negative customer service experience they'd had with their help desk, and they quoted a part of the call, which is, I think they said, you know, they were upset and would take their business elsewhere, and the person on the other end of the phone said, well, that's your prerogative, sir.
Yeah. I did that heaps. Whenever anyone said they were going to do that, I'd say, I can start that process for you now.
No, but the words specifically were, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't know if anyone figured out who said it, but I remember after that we all used to say it as a joke. Yeah. That's your prerogative. It was just, we thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I also remember famous people calling the help desk when I was on, well, you know, famous as in air quotes. Hang on.
New Zealand famous.
Yeah, like Steve Parr.
Yeah.
You probably remember his username. I do. God, who else was? I think maybe Paul Holmes.
Don't remember that one. I was off the help desk, I guess, relatively quickly.
Yeah, you were off making
On account of having aptitude for greater things.
Well, account of being there early enough and just kind of being roped into other things because they needed to be done.
What was the guy's name? He died. Good friend of yours. Love Songs to Midnight.
Oh, Pete.
What was his name? God damn it.
Pete. Was it Pete? I'm stuck on that now. Oh, no. Oh, God. I can't.
I don't understand why this is difficult. Peter Sinclair? Yeah.
Peter Sinclair. Yes, Peter Sinclair. Peter Sinclair. Peter Sinclair. Peter Sinclair.
He was around the office all the time. As I recall.
Might have been before I got there, but I knew York was friends with him.
Mm. He very kindly agreed to do an interview in our monthly customer magazine / I don't know what you'd call it. It was too long to be a pamphlet, but it was essentially a pamphlet. I don't know, I might have treated him wrong. I might have treated him wrong.
What did you do?
Well, I mean, I had a lot of fun with the layout of that, like the one time that I did it.
One time you were allowed to do it.
Yeah. The last time that it was ever printed.
What was that? The news injection?
Yeah.
Oh, so you did you do that after I left?
No. I did it before. No. It was called the zine. Oh, no.
Oh, so the magazine one.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
The news injection I named.
Yeah.
But kind of stole the name from BFM.
Yeah, we did it better.
I don't think I ever did the news injection.
No, I did. I did most of them.
Yeah. But I did one zine after, I can't remember what his name was, the guy that was a teacher in the...
Jim.
Jim. After Jim was away or whatever. Well, actually, it was for like at least a month, so I don't know. Was he away or had he left? He may have escaped. Anyway, that thing killed me. That thing was responsible for my longest ever work day, which added up to something over 30 straight hours, and that is difficult to deal with.
And yeah, 28 is my longest, and I wouldn't want to go any longer than that.
I got sent home from, because of course I delivered it to Murray Hannigan, the printing guy, the morning that it was due, and then went straight off to an expo, computer expo or something.
Right, wearing a slinky shirt that said...
Yeah. Fast and easy.
Fast and easy.
Fast and easy. I think that was probably my fault as well, fast and easy.
I had that shirt for quite a long time.
Mm. It was disgusting.
It felt weird to wear. Yeah. It was... Wow, that was a strange
time. It was like
time.
Satin sheets, but in a shirt form.
Yeah. Fast and easy. Kind of clung to any teeny little body hairs you had, like the downy hairs you get on your shoulders and stuff. Wasn't pleasant.
No, it wasn't pleasant.
Did look quite good on a couple of the staff members.
Oh.
But not most of them.
Oh, Haber. Oh, Jasper.
Right.
So should we do the news now before I get myself in deep...
Dunno, yeah. Trouble.
I'd like to avoid it. Oh, I'm declaring a person of the week.
Well, in what context?
Because I can.
Well, just all, like, a person from within the entire...
Person of the week from the entire population of humankind.
Okay.
30 minutes.
And if you've...
So you got a 1 in 7 billion chance of getting this, so you should really up your game.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. Michelle Dickinson, who is, I don't know, she's a physicist, I think, or some kind of engineer. She did a TED talk about nano stuff and superpowers. And she hooked me up with a big bag full of wonderful feed jars today. And we've never even met. She came to my office and brought me feed jars. And right. She and she's a way better person than me, and she took the trouble to do that. So I'm declaring her person of the week.
Why? Why did she bring you feed jars?
Because she said, I've got lots of feed jars, and I said, I would like some feed jars.
Oh, is this like on some sort of internal mailing list or something?
The internal mailing list of Twitter.
Oh, Twitter mailing list.
Yeah.
Twitter feed jar mailing list.
Yeah.
I like feed jars.
Yep. Someone might deliver some to you now.
Maybe.
Apparently my stream broke, but
no, it still works for me.
But it says it's come back now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Nick or Tim Ward probably hurts. Someone has suggested this is the reason. Kevin has suggested this is the reason that the stream is broken. Nick or Tim Ward heard some disparaging comments and launched a DDoS on Morgan's computer. I think you're gravely overestimating Nick and Tim Ward.
Yeah. They didn't really know what they were doing.
No. I mean, yes and no.
They were clever. Nick was clever.
Picked the right time to be doing the right things and had some fairly, well, I was going to say good ideas. They were probably bad ideas, but they persevered with them.
Bad ideas that made money.
Yeah. Like flat rate internet at the time when they launched flat rate internet was a pretty bad idea.
Yeah. It was pretty close to unaffordable.
Yeah. Although they did come up with some creative ways to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Sneakiness. Sneakiness and trading while insolvent.
Do you remember? Oh man, do you remember when Nick came back from? He'd been on holiday in Europe,
yeah,
and came back with a white linen suit.
He'd been in the States.
Was it the States?
And then that was the only suit he ever wore ever again.
It was the most. He became like some sort of Jesus. No, it must have been Europe because he came back really heavily tanned as well. I'm pretty sure he'd been in like Italy or something, in the Riviera or some place like that.
It's possible that I'm conflating two trips, but he also came back with one of those little pocket motorcycles.
Yeah, I think that was a different
That might
time.
Have been an earlier trip, though.
I'm certain, though. He came back with a white linen suit.
I associate that suit with the descent into the irreversible decline into dickheadedness. Because
do you remember when we got bought by Sky? No, it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
Do you remember when we bought Village? Oh no, sorry, Roadshow.
Nope.
No, didn't happen. No. Nope. Do you remember when we ran a TV channel?
Yeah,
yeah, that worked.
that actually did happen. Amazing. Did the porn channel ever happen?
No.
That'll be why it doesn't still exist.
Yes. Well, also the fact that there was very limited bandwidth available for it, and it was, it was a money sink with like what was the potential audience was fucking teeny.
Yeah.
On the plus side, of course, because you've got such a teeny potential audience, your licensing fees to carry things like the Discovery Channel were
Discovery
Channel. Minuscule. Discovery Channel. That was my first encounter with Shark Week.
Yeah. The Nipple Channel, we had that.
What?
Yep.
Oh, Fashion TV.
Fashion
yes.
TV.
Had that before Sky had it.
Yep.
That was an exclusive.
Yep. Oh, boy. Do you remember when Jetstream started?
Yes, Jetstream, the ADSL, yes.
Actually, I've probably skipped ahead a little bit. There are a few other things that we can talk about. For instance, the iHug flats, which were, there was one on...
Upper flat and lower flat.
Yeah, upper flat was above kind of a lunch bar next door to the iHug building. And an Ethernet cable was run up through the ceiling of the server room and like out over the wall and into the flat over there. And that was the first place that I ever saw anyone downloading MP3s.
And so there was a 10/2, like a coax Ethernet cable.
Yeah.
It ran up into that flat. iHug hosted was it, what was it, Quake servers then, or Doom?
Yeah.
Quake? Quake servers. There was no Doom servers, were there?
Yeah.
So I had hosted Quake servers, and the people, at least some of the people living in that flat, enjoyed playing Quake and were hated by people.
Low ping bastards.
20 millisecond pings.
Yeah.
When everyone else had 220 millisecond pings.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to go around there and play Quake.
Yeah, because you felt like a Superman.
Yeah.
My reactions are so fast. It's like beating up little toddlers.
I used to spend quite a lot of time there.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Lower Flat, which was established later.
That was disgusting. And that was on the street behind iHug.
Yeah, so it was over the back fence of iHug.
Yeah.
Same thing. Ethernet cable ran out the back of the building.
Along the fence line.
Along the fence line, down into the house. Probably also coax Ethernet.
Yeah. It was disgusting because someone there had ferrets.
Ah. There was quite a few different people moved through that. I nearly lived there at one point.
It's a good thing you didn't, or you would have all of the herpes.
Yeah, now as it is, I have very few of them.
Very few herpes, please. Yep. I think.
Yeah, and then after that, I lived in another. It wasn't one of those places, but I lived at a place where I lived with another guy who was like the help desk supervisor.
Yeah.
And I was DNS administrator or assistant DNS administrator of iHug. So we both, you know, had reasonable connections within the company.
Yeah.
And he knew a guy who worked at Telecom who just happened to remove the billing data from a 128K ISDN line that was installed in the house.
Oh, what a weird coincidence.
Yeah, strange. So we had a 128K ISDN line, but we also had iHug SatNet or Ultra or Starnet, whatever it was called at the time.
Excellent.
Satellite-based internet. So that was like 5 megabit down.
I made that logo.
And so we had 128K up and 5 megabit down, and I had a whole class C of static IP addresses, routable static IP addresses to my home computer.
Oh, fast and easy was Starnet.
Yeah, fast and easy was Starnet. Was it Starnet? Starnet,
that's
yeah.
right. That's right. So I probably laid up that bloody disgusting T-shirt and possibly went and picked it up from the T-shirt place.
Possibly. And I wore one at the...
I think that Brooke might have actually gone and got them. The wonderful Brooke. Jeez, she was good. I thought.
She was. Yep. She was one of my favourite bosses.
Yeah, she was one of the very few there that I actually would say was tolerable, frankly. Yeah, there was a weird thing that happened with, you know, what we might laughably call middle management now. Considering the company was actually... I mean, my experience of it was pretty flat, you know.
Yeah, well, there was...
But later on, it got worse, of course. But yeah, man, they had a bad habit of hiring real idiots to be management.
Yeah.
Unbelievable idiots. Jabba's just told me the chat room on the site just told me that it had temporarily lost connection, so I wonder if the streams also dropped. I can see that...
No, I had that before as well. I think the internet's just stupid.
All right. Well, I'll assume that it's streaming still.
It's just what we have to assume. It's all we can do.
Yep.
Just
anyway, so that was my person of the week, and that was lots of reminiscing about...
So there you go. Send Morgan Fijos, and you too can be person of the week.
It's really easy to be person of the week, I reckon. You don't even need to own your own research lab, although, you know, possibly it helps. Do you reckon we should do some news?
Yeah, okay.
DiscourseCoin.z/VPN. If you can't do it drunk, you can't do it.
No.
You can do it drunk because it's so easy to use. Did you know you just dropped out of the chat room?
No, I didn't know that.
And now you're back. Yeah, there's something funny going on with the servers today. Hopefully Skype doesn't ever drop out because that would be a huge pain in the ass. And now the news. I hired a sex worker for my elderly dad.
Morgan?
Yes?
Wrong document.
Crap.
Next story.
Super City needs battle for mayoralty, not a shoo-in. Now, for whatever reason, I guess because it's less important to me than the general election, I didn't remember that actually we've got an Auckland local body election. Does it count as local body under the Super City? This year. And Mayor Len Brown is... apparently likely to be re-elected because there's such little serious opposition.
He's going to put on his mayor hat and mayor us all up.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've never voted for the guy, and I don't know that I ever would.
I lived on the North Shore the last time there was a vote, and I think that was before the Super Set. I don't think I've had the opportunity to vote for Len Brown. Maybe I have.
How is that possible?
I don't know. When was he last elected?
Bloody good question. I guess it was about 3 years ago.
No, I think that was before the Super City.
But but if it was before the Super City, he would have been elected as mayor of Monaco.
That's right. I must have voted for him. I don't remember voting for anyone else. I know I didn't vote for George Wood. I remember he ran.
Yeah.
Fuck. Did Dick Hubbard run? I don't know who I voted for. John Keller's just joined the chat room. He could tell some stories about IHAC. Anyway.
Better not.
No.
Christine Fletcher, former mayor. God, what did...
Yeah, anyway. I remember there was one point when I was living in Auckland where the options were John Banks or Dick Hubbard, and quite clearly the option was not John Banks. I ticked the not John Banks box.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy decision to make. Even though Hubbard... I mean, man, it's so hard to say whether a mayor was good or bad, because I think in some respects all they do is... I mean, in Auckland, all they're doing is battling against fucking Wellington, sticking their oar into our city constantly. I wish they'd stop.
Was it always the way?
It's been the way since the 1950s. It's been the way since the 1950s. And the Super City, of course, is the latest and greatest example of their fettling in our city. I don't recall getting a vote on that, Dylan.
The thing that frustrates me the most about the Super City, not that I really give many shits, but so now we're all one big city, but we're still fucking different. I live in West Auckland now.
Yeah.
In my recycling, I can't include paper in the recycling bin. I have to put that as a separate thing.
Yeah.
I have to buy rubbish bags or pay for my own rubbish collection.
You don't have bins. You don't have wheelies.
No.
What?
Exactly. And inorganic collection only happens every 2 years in West Auckland, and you have to pay for collection.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, I mean, I'm less sympathetic about that because, I mean...
Well, I just don't understand. You make this one city, then how about we start normalising all this shit? Having
some consistency.
Yeah. And then, of course, someone's pointed out the worst thing about living in West Auckland is not being able to buy booze in the supermarket.
Dry zones, eh?
Yeah, or trusts.
Next story.
Yeah. Drivers adapt well to changed giveaway rules with few accidents. Apparently it's been a year since we changed our giveaway rules.
I've only crashed at 6 giveaway signs.
Frankly, and if you asked my lady about this, she would say, he is such a dickhead, he still seems confused somehow. I made those satirical ads, and still, I apparently don't actually understand what the changes were. Because the only thing that I have in my head is top of the T goes before me. And apparently it only applies in one situation. But I always want to apply it.
There are a couple of circumstances where I still don't quite know what to do.
Look out for buses.
You know, if we're at a four-way intersection, like if there's two roads coming onto a main road, they both have giveaways. They're both opposite each other. I want to turn right and the other guy wants to turn right.
Yeah.
Does one of us give way to the other one, or do we both just go and try and, like...
I think you should go simultaneously.
I just don't understand. So my approach to driving is just to try not to crash into people.
Yeah.
Just try and look at what other people are doing and not crash into them.
Yeah.
Try and make sure they see what I'm doing.
The vast majority of drivers grasped the new rules immediately and have continued to use them correctly. We had very few reports of any crashes, congestion or confusion. Drivers were initially cautious and courteous, but most seem to understand the new rules and are applying them without much difficulty. I just assume that I have right of way all the time now.
Yeah, you do.
Just wherever I am. Just because I think people will respect a degree of certainty.
Yeah, that's right. If you drive like you know where you're going, people get out of your way.
Get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Next story.
So Pizza Hut are releasing a new pizza. It is a high...
Has it got... I can't think of anything more ridiculous than what it's actually got in it.
Yeah.
Damn it. Has it got peanut butter stuffed into the crust?
No. It is a hybrid pizza slash hot dog with a frankfurter that runs around the circumference.
I feel bad for saying this, but I would quite like to eat one.
I want one as
45
well.
45 minutes.
And I want one. I want one now, Dylan.
Do you know what else I want?
What's that?
Ben goddamn... Well,
oh, all that name. Mexican food that television's Ben Gracewood's been eating.
Gracewood? Fucking hell. Ben Gracewood has been in the States. He went to Denny's. Denny's has some sort of crazy magical bacon menu at the moment.
Yeah.
On the crazy magical bacon menu, it's actually not the name of the menu, but it's what I'm going to call it continuously from now on. The crazy magical bacon menu at Denny's includes a bacon maple milkshake.
Which sounds absolutely awful.
And do you know what he did? He took a photo of the menu and went, I'm not ordering that.
He was right.
Fucking fool. That'll be the first thing I order when I step foot into a Denny's in the States.
Okay.
And conveniently, there is one actually literally next door to my hotel.
All right, but you shouldn't feel any compulsion to consume the entire thing. It's all right just to have a taste.
See, the thing is, I once nearly convinced my good friend Giappo to make bacon ice cream.
Yeah.
I took some bacon, I fried it nice and crispy, put a little bit of sugar on it as it was frying to kind of caramelize it slightly.
Yeah.
Took it down there, took some, and got him to get one of his plain vanilla gelatos. We added a little bit of maple syrup, swirled it, put the bacon in. It was delicious.
Yeah. Well, I can see that the texture would be good. Salt and sweet are quite good. But honestly, isn't it time we moved on from this bizarre internet obsession with bacon?
Nope.
No, I can't believe I said it myself, actually. I didn't even really believe it.
Epic Mealtimes just put out some cooking lessons with bacon, various chocolate bacon options.
I need to find a next story which isn't horrible because they're all a bit difficult and I don't really want to...
Next story.
I don't have any feel-good stories. Don't look at me.
Have you ever heard of a show called The Amazing Race?
Yes. It's amazing.
And it has race. Phil, it has New Zealand's own... Actually,
Phil Kogan.
Was he even born here?
Yes, I think
He is a Kiwi, isn't he? Anyway, Phil Kogan is the host and has been for since forever.
His brother Andrew is a very talented musician. Just BTW.
Cool.
Also... television director.
Anyway, this season they had they visited Vietnam and they visited a US bomber memorial.
And
there has been outrage after the episode aired, which showed that wreckage.
I see, because they
in America,
in Vietnam.
Exactly. But the thing is, it's a memorial. It's not a ridicule. They visit a really straight site where it's not like there's all kinds of crazy posters of nationalistic flags. They haven't dressed the site up at all. It's a plane that has crashed into, it was like a pond or a waterway, maybe. And it's just there. It's just a fact that it's there. They didn't say anything weird. It wasn't odd. Anyway. Angry Vietnam veterans, please be quiet.
Yeah, they're angry.
Please be quiet.
All right, I got one.
Yeah, go on then.
Next story.
There's a great article in Threat Level, which is the Wired column on all things, I guess, vaguely hacker-related or all things security and technology crime-related, which is neither really about technology or... hacker stuff, but a man has been prosecuted and convicted, sent to jail for 24 years, I think.
Yeah,
for drug trafficking.
Good, because he must have trafficked drugs then, and 24 years, probably a lot of them, all kinds of heroin that he then injected into children's eyeballs.
Probably, although he had never seen or touched. Or spoken to anyone about any drugs. Essentially, this dude was a stereo installer, car stereo installer, who got quite good at building what they call traps, which is secret hiding places in cars.
Yeah.
And secret hiding places in cars, like many things, are dual purpose. You can use them for hiding legitimate things, like your, you know...
Gun.
Fancy electronic gadgets and gun and things that you don't want stolen when your car is parked somewhere. Hand grenades.
Drugs.
Yep. Russian gangsters' fingers, whatever. You can store this stuff in the trap. But you can also, of course, use it for trafficking drugs across state lines or whatever. So he did what most people would do, which is make sure that he didn't ask people what they were using the traps for, and didn't do any work for anyone who made any references to drugs, basically. But through a variety of through some criminal investigations, he ended up being tried in federal court for a crime which isn't even specifically, well, because there's no actual law against building traps, he got charged with trafficking, because without his technology and without him having built and installed these traps in these cars, according to the prosecutor, it would have been impossible for the drug traffickers who in fact used the traps to traffic their drugs across state lines. It's a bizarre situation where he's being held responsible for the actions of others with his thing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, has some fascinating parallels and precedents in terms of, you know, how long until we see crypto software writers being prosecuted for child pornography or whatever else.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, you know, next thing Kim.com will be, well, Kim.com should be charged for child pornography as well, because I'm certain there'll be someone using Mega for child porn.
Well, I mean, we helped operate an internet service provider.
Yeah. Oh, God, we're all going down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very strange precedent and seems incredibly unreasonable.
Seems like there's going to be an appeal then.
I would hope so. The prosecutor made some statements and things that seem very misleading.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. Interesting article. I read the entire thing all the way through in one go because it was that interesting. It's quite long. But I read it all and I was like, wow, this is terrible and interesting and terrible.
Wow, a whole article. I'll never do that.
A whole article all at once, because usually that's TLDR and I just go and, you know, ignore it or read a comment somewhere that tells me what it was.
Yeah. Or listen to discourse and we'll summarize approximately.
Next story.
Yeah,
transgender teacher denounced by Richard Littlejohn in the Daily Mail, kills self. Lucy Meadows was a teacher, born male, who transitioned to female, was supported in that process by her employers, which was a small school. And this columnist, Richard Littlejohn,
Dick Smalldick.
Yeah, that's the actual name. Basically, well, I mean, this is a TLDR thing, right? I mean, do we want to read the entire story? But essentially, said that there was no place in primary schools for someone who is transgendered, and that Lucy was stealing their childhoods and their innocence, and of course refused to always spoke about him or did the old his, her thing, which is very old-fashioned. You know, it's a bigot thing.
And quite a deliberate sort of jab at people.
And the thing is that transgender people actually have a really high suicide rate. They seem to be very, post-transition, they seem to be very fragile because, I mean, obviously it's difficult. And so it's really tough that this asshole hounded and attacked her for nothing. You know, she was a private citizen, you know, just an ordinary school teacher who had been a school teacher when she was male and continued to be a school teacher when she was female. So this is tough, man. The school was completely supportive. And unfortunately, now has a you know, a classroom full of students wondering why their teacher's dead. Yeah. So anyway, it's tough. It's difficult. I hate this.
I see. Also, apparently, the Daily Mail, which published his column in the first place, removed the column after the death.
Yeah.
And posted an anonymously authored, apparently, so not bylined, obituary. Which repeatedly referred to Meadows as a man.
Yeah.
Which is a bit rude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. I understand it's quite the media uproar in the UK, although to be fair, it doesn't take much to create a media uproar in the UK.
No, they seem a bit simple, don't they?
They love a good press beat up. Although this one may have had a lot more merit than some of them.
Yeah. Now, it's unfortunate that she committed suicide, of course.
Next story.
Because in another story, it turns out that harassed women who face, rude and disrespectful behaviour in the workplace, apparently they often respond to that harassment by working harder and being better at their jobs.
Trying to prove themselves.
Yeah, apparently.
I shall harass my female colleagues more.
When men face the same sort of treatment, though, they withdraw. Just another in the many ways that women are better than men. Did we need another example?
No. Stop bringing them up.
Next story.
Donglegate.
No.
You sure?
Dickheads at web conference say stupid things. Possibly oversensitive female developer chooses wrong way to address the things they're saying. One of the dickheads gets fired from his employer, and female developer gets fired from her employer. No one comes out looking good.
Everyone looks like a dickhead, and it's a terrible example to use, regardless of what you believe. But yeah, there we go. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, people shouldn't be dicks about other people, but then actually these guys weren't really they're just being general dicks.
Yeah.
And then other people should be careful or a bit more considerate about how they choose to take offence at their other people's dickish behaviour.
Yeah.
And then employers should just chill the fuck out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Done.
Cops swoop over gun-toting Facebook snap. A ruddy-cheeked, camouflage-clad boy in a photo smiles out from behind a pair of glasses. He looks a little bit like Harry Potter, actually. Harry Potter in camo. Proudly holding a gun his father gave him as a present for his upcoming 11th birthday. It's pretty cool, actually. It's a really cool-looking gun.
States,
it's a little,
obviously.
Yeah. It's a little... it's a 22. It sort of looks like an AR-15, but it's a little 22.
Yeah, well, there are 22 caliber AR-15s.
I'm not sure if it's actually an AR-15 or if it just sort of...
Yeah, it has that kind of... Yeah, sure. Yeah. What ifs?
Anyway, someone complained to Child Protective Services or whatever they are called in what state is it in? New Jersey?
And this is in America.
This is in America. And so the father, who is out and about, receives a call from his wife that the police and, you know, welfare workers are at their house. And so he turns up with his lawyer on the phone on speaker and says, do you have a warrant? And they didn't. And they said they wanted to look inside his gun safe to see if his guns were registered. And he said, that's actually not a legal requirement. And the police just had to leave. Now, I'm interested in this, not just because, you know, I mean, obviously, in this case, I think things pretty much worked. Everyone behaved legally. And the police backed down without being dickheads, but when they discovered that this guy was obviously a kind of a Second Amendment guy. But this, the only reason I really
and
bring
Fourth
this...
Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, why?
Fourth? Is it Fourth? Yeah, Fourth Amendment's the right for freedom from unreasonable search and seizure.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true. Now, the reason that this one stuck out to me, because, you know, in and of itself, it's not terribly exciting, but on YouTube, another one of these many subcultures is people who do open carry...
Protests.
Tests.
Yes.
Protests. Yeah, where they will walk around with...
I stumbled upon those a few times.
They walk around with like an AR-15 on their back or an MP5 or in some places just with a pistol in a holster waiting to be harassed by police. And sometimes the police are really cool and sometimes the police are not cool. But these guys only ever do it in places where they're actually legally entitled to do it. It's very strange, though. They're basically out there looking for a fight.
I support the standing up for your rights thing.
Yeah.
I think guns in general are stupid, so I don't...
Why?
Know. But I like the idea of standing up for your rights and trying to make a point of doing so.
Yeah.
I don't... You know, there's a fine line between that and antagonizing people. But I think you should stand up for your rights. It's the same with all these people who, you know, will not back down when harassed about taking photos in places they should be able to take photos, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm down with that. They, I think carrying a gun around in public is crazy, but I'm down with it anyway, that they that they have that right and they protect it.
I mean, if I had the right to wear a sword, I would probably start wearing a sword.
Three.
I think it'd be really cool.
Two.
Like with a really elaborate pommel.
One.
See you next week. Love you. Goodbye. Well, probably after the thing.
You're listening to the weekly show.
You know the way it goes
on,
now.
Sorry.
It's pretty much a farce, actually.
Plenty of farce.
Don't know why we even have this bit.
Maybe you could like count into one and then go, right, fine, fuck it, another 10 minutes.
Yeah, another 10 minutes approximately. I might wear a sword.
I...
Like, it'd be tied.
You're only a small step away from LARPing, my friend.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, you are. Lightning bolt.
No.
All right.
I wouldn't be throwing hacky sacks at people.
Oh, yeah.
Fireball, fireball. I wouldn't be doing that. I'd be wearing a sword.
Okay, so you're medieval reenactors.
No.
No? You're just going to walk around with a sword on?
Yeah.
Sweet. Are you not allowed to?
I think you're not allowed to. I think you're allowed knives of only a very certain length, as Jerry Collins has discovered in Japan. He's being charged with possession of a sword, apparently, because he used like a 19-centimeter kitchen knife, and the limit before a knife becomes a sword in public in Japan apparently is like 15 or 16 or 17 centimeters. He was only just over it. But yeah, possession of a sword. Man, what is going on with that guy? I can't even tell.
Awesome.
Girl, seven, brought into pepper spray fight. Guess what country this story comes from?
I would say America, but there was no guns involved, so...
A woman who had been banned from an Upper Derby dollar store doused store employees with pepper spray as they tried to escort her out on Monday. And when they tackled her to the ground, she gave the spray can to her seven-year-old daughter and told her to finish the fight, police said. You know what to do, baby. Spray it. Delana Garling allegedly told her daughter.
That's so fucking wonderful.
I know. She's teaching her daughter to be as much of a fuckwit as her.
Like pepper spray drills at home.
It's like if you're attacked by a dog or a bear, or you know a shop attendant, spray them in the face with pepper spray. Like,
you know what to do, babe. How would you know what to do?
How would you know what to do?
I have a seven-year-old. He wouldn't know what to do. I'd give him one. He'd spray himself in the face.
Well, I guess that would be the lesson that you would teach your child if you were going to have pepper spray around. So, for instance, if you had firearms in the house, by the age of seven, if you were responsible, you would have taught your kid the safe end of it, and also definitely not to ever play with it.
And they would also know that if I were in a fight with someone on a street.
Yeah.
And gave them a gun and said, you know what to do. You know what to do would be putting the gun away.
Are you sure?
Oh, well, I would rather my child not shoot anyone.
But what if the alternative was you die?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what's involved. But if it's just a fight, anyway.
If it's a fight and you had a gun and you give it to someone else because you can no longer shoot it, it's not just a fight, is it?
Well, it's just that's passive responsibility to someone. No, I'm not going to shoot this guy. You do it.
Yeah, anyway, it's unlikely to happen in New Zealand.
Seems unlikely.
Firearms are meant to be locked away and ammunition separately, or at least, you know, pretty securely. So I don't see that it's ever going to come up.
Also, pepper spray not available.
I think I've told the story, though. I'm pretty sure it was a pump action 22 that was always rested upright beside the door at my grandfather's place.
Seems legit.
God, my family has a lot of guns. Actually, I don't know how many guns my family has now. Most of the hunters seem to have kind of dispersed. So maybe very few. But geez, my family had a lot of guns. You have no idea. So many.
Next story.
Man urinated on woman in Queenstown bar. A man who urinated on an American woman in Queenstown bar on Boxing Day has been lambasted by a judge. Scott Andrew McCann, 30, a bar manager of Queenstown, admitted willfully committing an offensive act on December the 26th. So it sounds like he had made an approach to this woman and she was not interested. And so what he did was walk up behind her and piss on her leg. But the judge was appalled. And he said he had never seen anybody urinate on anyone ever. It's just appalling. I find this behavior entirely disgusting, reprehensible, and totally inexcusable.
Totally.
And you were saying it's a 200 hours community work in order to pay a $1,000 reparation.
Could I?
I am really surprised that the judge... I mean, I would have thought that more pissings would happen because it just seems so funny. It also seems kind of harmless to me. I mean, it's just urine. Come on. It's just urine.
Yeah, I mean...
It's about the most harmless bodily fluid. Let's be honest.
Yep, fair enough.
You don't think so? Think of all of the things that have been on your body from your children. What's the least offensive one? Probably drool, but I'm not talking about saliva.
Yeah, we're getting...
Vomit is not delightful. Feces are not delightful.
Let's run it down. The things, so it's obviously piss.
Piss, poop, shit. Blood, puke.
Blood, yep.
Urine, piss. Piss, snot. We already had that.
Snot is the other one.
Snot, sure. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, snot and saliva are,
If we're just going to rule them out because they're not that great, I mean, I would...
All right, well, they're not ruled out. They're not ruled out then. Fine.
I mean, saliva and snot are the ones I don't immediately feel I need to go and change my clothes instantly if I get any on my clothes. Piss, yeah. On the other hand, and shit, definitely. Vomit, yeah. Don't like to keep that on my clothes.
Yeah. Blood.
Blood, obviously I have no problem with blood stains.
John in the chat room says, next time I see you, I'm going to pee on you and tell you it's just urine. I'm not saying that it's a respectful thing to do. I'm just saying, you know, it's not I mean, it is pretty bad behavior.
It's
He was being bad. A pussy after being turned down by a woman in a bar. And, you know, if there's any situation in which you should be a fucking man and just be cool.
Was it just revenge or was he hoping to somehow win her over? I've pissed on you, now you're mine.
I've pissed on you, now I might as well ejaculate on you.
He was a dog. He's doing the dog thing.
Could be it. So, I mean, it's stupid. I mean, I'm not saying it's not stupid. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, obviously, based on the sentence, it's not actually that serious. It's not like he was charged with sexual assault or anything, which he might have been in the States.
Well, in the States, he almost certainly would have been.
I mean, they call...
And then would be on the list of, you know, registered sex offender. For
like
the
people who are caught urinating in public, who then are marked down as sex offenders, which
and
is ridiculous.
Children.
Urine is... I mean, and that was really what I was thinking. You know, urine is not that big a deal. It shouldn't be treated so badly. He was a dickhead and he deserved some punishment. But, you know, it's not like, oh my God, this is the worst thing. Obviously, society is finally collapsing. You know, I think everyone is pissed on someone else's feet for a laugh, you know, in a changing room at primary school, say.
So, next story?
If you next insist. Story. New milk bottles on the way.
Oh, I can talk about this.
Go on then.
I've had... two of these in my house.
Yeah.
Along with normal milk bottles with milk from the same batch, basically.
Yeah.
I was skeptical, but they actually seemed to make the milk taste better.
Oh, really?
No, honest.
So, if we were to do a blind taste test.
I did. And I found that the milk from the lightproof bottle... tasted better. In fact,
tasted
the last
better
of
how?
It, eh?
Tasted better how?
Noticeably. Sweeter. Like, there right. just wasn't... There was a... it just didn't have a slight sourness that I expected, or that I found from the other milk. It was interesting.
You identified sourness. Is this a sourness
well, not
that you'd
sourness,
ever noticed?
But like a slight... It wasn't sour. I just kind of... But there was a taste difference.
Yeah.
I mean, the other problem was the milks that we had were full cream milk, so I don't usually drink the full cream, so that in itself is already sweeter than usual. But there was definitely a difference.
Yeah.
And in fact, we've still got one bottle left just about finished, and its best before date is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it still tastes very fresh.
Yeah. You know so what else doesn't let any light into the milk?
What?
A cardboard carton.
You're wrong. Apparently, you're wrong. I didn't know this either, but apparently they're not actually 100% lightproof. They're about 75% lightproof.
Rubbish.
That was what I saw. Don't know. But an article somewhere that Tetra Pak was mentioned specifically and said that it was not lightproof.
Sounds like bollocks.
Probably. Could well be bollocks. I think the ones, you know, the ones you get with juice, where they have the foil on the inside.
Yeah.
I think they probably are, but the ones you used to get with Tetra Pak, they were never foiled on the inside.
God damn it, that's right, they weren't.
Yeah, so I think maybe they weren't for that reason.
Fuck.
So anyway.
That is actually a pretty important difference.
Now, on the downside, the bottle is white.
Yeah, so you can't see how full it is.
You can't see how full it is, which is, it's unnerving as well, because when I left, you know, finished one, left it on the bench so I could take it out to the recycling later on. And kept looking at it and thinking, shit, I've left the milk on the bench, and then realised that it was the empty one.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem like a bit of a risk, doesn't it?
Interesting. I don't know if it's a massive, super awesome milky technology, but I was surprised. I was sceptical initially when I first, because basically I read the article and thought, this is bullshit.
Yep.
Came home and we had the milk. And I was like, oh, okay, that's surprising.
Mm.
Tried it, and I was like, oh, that has exceeded my expectations.
Are we going to have any choice about this thing?
I don't think we are,
really. Yeah, what's that?
Food related. I used the Subway Android app. I think there's an iPhone one as well.
Oh, you let me guess. First it crashed your phone, and then you had to reboot. And then you ordered a foot-long meatball, and what you got was a salad with chicken.
Almost exactly that.
And a cookie.
Didn't crash my phone. I've only ever used it for being a replacement sub card in the past. You know, you swipe it at the thing. But today I used it to actually make an order. You know, I just picked my sandwich, punched in all the different things, and went and picked it up. And it was ready for me when I got there, and I paid for it, and it was done. It was easy, and everything was done right. And I didn't have to stand there and talk to the guy and mention exactly what salads I wanted three times. And it was all just there.
Dirty, sneaky bastards. They actually did something that wasn't disenchanting.
It was one of those odd experiences where an app does what it says it will, which in turn is not what you expected it would.
It's never been heard of on Android.
No, absolutely not. Nothing works on Android.
Nothing works on Android. That's why it's the most popular by a factor of three. You know what else is most popular by a factor of three?
Did we talk about the Samsung Galaxy S4 launch?
Go on then. No,
did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. This is the one where you didn't actually see the device.
No, you saw the device.
Oh, did you? Okay.
That was a PlayStation 4 that you had to think of. No, you saw the device, and they showed it off lots, and they showed all the apps and stuff.
Obviously, I care heaps about new devices.
It was a crazy, ridiculous, theatrical insanity.
Yeah.
But the phone's quite cool. They've come up with some quite interesting developments. And it just, I don't know if it's Quantum Leap yet, but it looks good.
Yeah.
And it just makes me think again, like, of how iOS and Apple's iPhone hasn't really done much since it came out. It hasn't changed, hasn't introduced many new features. And then I'm playing with a Galaxy Note tablet at the moment as well, and I'm looking at that compared to my first gen iPad.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot more.
Really?
A lot more.
So what is it that's better?
Well, things that really frustrate me in the iPad, for example, I hate the iPad keyboard. I hate typing on it.
Oh, God, swipe. Give me swipe.
Yes, this
is all I ever want is swipe. Anyone who uses a mobile device and doesn't have swipe on it, you don't even know what you're missing, as long as, you know, you haven't actually tried, I guess. You
might know what you're missing. This has handwriting recognition. This has voice, you know, voice input, just, you know, in terms of keyboard input replacements.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've only got the first gen iPad, so I can't really compare it with the latest one, and I'm not sure even what I would look for. Obviously, it's different apps, and I don't use the iPad extensively, so who knows, you know, what I would actually see a different, you know, would I hate that some apps aren't available, or some way that I use the iPad wasn't available? I don't know, but I'm enjoying using it.
Yeah, I'm a very happy iPad user. Gen 2, I guess. I've played with a Mini, and I like it, but it doesn't feel like an iPad to me. It looks and feels like an Android device. I mean, obviously, but running iOS.
Interesting.
It's something strange about it. It doesn't seem Apple-y to me.
Friend of mine at work has an iPad Mini, and it seems like a much better size to me.
Yeah,
Because I mean, I've got the 10-inch, I'm playing with the 10-inch Galaxy Note, but regardless, I find it a bit big.
Yeah.
And the phone's a bit small, and the iPad mini size, and I guess it's what, about the 7-inch, there's various 7-inch Android tablets, I think, are around the same size. Seems like a good size.
Yeah. Hey, watch this completely natural progression.
Next story.
Breast milk is weirder than you think.
Oh, damn it. If I hadn't interrupted with this, we could have just gone straight from milk to breast milk.
That's why that's I set them up that up. Way.
Oh, well, I fucked that up.
So it turns out that breast milk is strange.
You're going to have to elaborate.
It contains sugars that aren't digestible by human infants.
Oh, okay.
Because they aren't meant for the infant to digest. They actually feed intestinal bacteria.
Right.
Amongst other things. Breast is best. I'm trying to start a little fight. Breast is best. Breast is best.
Next story.
Melanie's watching things on Hulu at the moment.
Yeah.
And on Hulu you get American ads because they put ads in it.
Yeah.
And it's the strangest thing. There's ads for formula, for baby formula, about how it's, you know, a good supplement for breast milk. You can't possibly advertise that in New Zealand. It's against the law.
But they are not saying replacement for breast milk, are they?
No, they're saying supplement, but you're not even allowed to mention alternatives to breastfeeding, even as supplementary.
You're not allowed? Thing. What do you mean you're not allowed?
Not allowed.
Is there a law?
Yes.
What is that law?
I don't know specifically.
Made-up law that Dylan has made up and all the anti-breastfeeding advocates of 1997.
Most doctors and nurses won't talk about formula at all.
Yeah.
I remember we went to, one of those baby expos. And, of course, so they've got, you know, like Heinz is there with their Heinz Nurture Care formula. They only advertise the, like, the toddler ones.
Yeah.
They won't even mention the earlier ones. And if you were pregnant, I watched this happen. If you're pregnant and went up to them and asked about formula for newborn babies, they will not talk to you. They say, we can't talk to you about that.
Right.
But if your friend goes up and asks, they'll talk to your friend who's not pregnant.
Yeah.
But it's very strange. There is. I'm not sure if it's law or if it's very well adhered to voluntary practice, but there is very specific and strict codes about promotion of breastfeeding to the that exclude everything else.
Yeah. Sorry, we're going to have to go back in time just a couple of minutes because Bullshitter, that's your new name, Bullshitter, in the chat room, I can touch type just fine on an iPad keyboard nearly as fast as a normal keyboard. Maybe it's your fat fingers getting in the way. Maybe you're slow on a normal keyboard, dickhead. And incidentally, I use swipe on a phone, not on a tablet, because iOS doesn't fucking have swipe. So you've never used swipe on an iPad, have you? No, you haven't. And meanwhile, I can enter text quickly on my phone without having to push fucking taps. And of course, you can try, you know, using other phones. And it's much nicer using swipe. Much nicer. He reckons he does 120 words per minute on an iPad. Bullshit.
I'm dubious, but good on. I personally dislike the iPad keyboard greatly.
If those words are,
do you know the one?
I space.
I think one of the newer things on the I think one of the newer iOS versions has changed this, but the Gen 1 that we've gotten, whatever software version it's running.
Now he's saying he never said on an iPad, but just a second ago, that's all in text. It's up there.
The keyboard is always caps. It always shows caps.
Prick.
Is this still the same on the iPad, or does it not do it like this anymore?
What?
The keyboard always shows capital letters.
Mine is in another room, so I can't check.
Yeah, even when you're typing lowercase, it's showing capital letters.
I don't think so. No, that doesn't sound right.
I hate that. And the one that we've got anyway, it's like you can't tell if you're good, like looking at the keyboard. It's weird.
I'm annoyed by all the pressing I have to do to get to special characters.
Right.
So much pressing. Oh, my God. And that's especially a problem when you're entering a password, right? And you, like me, you use old-fashioned ones with lots of crazy characters in them rather than the kind of the, what do they call it? Namespace? Using the namespace thing? Anyway. Department of Conservation losses. Hey, I should push a button.
Next story.
Could affect endangered species.
Shocking. That's unpredictable.
It's entirely predictable. 140, I think, was a number, and now this article is actually just saying over 100. Auckland University Associate Professor Jacqueline Beggs says it's hard to say which specific areas will be affected. The spin at the moment is that it's going to be mainly administrative people, so not people actually at the coalface. And part of it's going to be realised by joining various regions into one, so they, you know, will be able to remove redundancy. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it won't actually make much difference to, you know, the people on the ground actually doing a lot of the work. But I think the Department of Conservation runs pretty fucking close to the bone as it is. So taking taking anyone out, that seems like it's going to be very challenging.
Totes.
And then, following on from that, unless you want to talk about your Android tablet again.
Next story.
No.
Apparently, now I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of time on Motutapu out in the Hauraki Gulf. Because my father used to do archaeological digs out there.
I spent 24 hours walking around it in Rangitoto once.
Yeah.
I got very, very bad blisters.
Yeah. But that's no, because you because you got brand new hiking boots and wore them without breaking them in.
I didn't. I broke them in, but not enough. Not enough for 24 hours worth of hiking.
I.e. you didn't break them in.
Yeah, okay.
You should have just worn shoes, man.
Excellent plan.
Hindsight. So apparently, you know, as a... it's a bird sanctuary. And there was some kind of race over there on the weekend, and several people in that race said that they'd spotted a cat wandering around. And so now Department of Conservation staff... and biosecurity staff with sniffer dogs are scouring the island trying to find this cat. Guess what they're going to do to it when they find it?
They're going to give it to Gareth Morgan.
They're going to Gareth Morgan the fuck out of it. They're going to Gareth Morgan it so bad. And they'll be right.
Good.
Next story.
Some animals, you know, they deserve to go. Other animals deserve to go even sooner. Now, this is actually a story about a fish that I posted a link to photos of on Twitter this week. On Boing Boing, it's called the Fish of Nightmares. And this is a sheep's head fish. Lives in North America. And it has, it looks like it has like a jaw of human teeth around its, you know, in the normal location. But then within that row of normal teeth, top and bottom, it has more teeth all over its mouth. You know, where its tongue might be if it was a person. And it, this drove me to the brink of insanity, this picture. The thought of something about it, like it made imaginary, like the fear of imaginary teeth sprouting in my own mouth, just drove me almost insane. Did you look at it?
I did look at it. I don't want to look at it again.
Yeah, I find it really upsetting.
I wasn't as upset as you are, I don't think, but I don't want to look at it again.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it at that.
Next story.
Do you remember Tony Veitch?
Yes.
He was at Showgirls.
Good for him.
And his companion collapsed and struck her head and needed, apparently, well... maybe didn't need to be CPR'd while an ambulance was coming. Apparently, I mean, she wasn't even, I mean, she was knocked out, but like nothing had stopped, and yet they went for it because I think they were grubby businessmen. Now, the reason I'm doing this story is, you know, number one, Veitch. Oh, poor old Veitch, eh? Veitch was the one that kicked his female partner in the spine, right? Was that Veitch?
Did he kick her in the spine or did he kick her down the stairs, thus injuring her spine? Yes, it was Veitch.
Good old Veitchy. What a champion.
Yeah.
So anyway, the thing, though, that grabs my attention with this one is that there are these businessmen who think it's cool to go to a fucking strip club for a business function.
Okay, that yes.
Oh, which reminded me, of course, of iHug again.
Yes, there is that. But there's worse than that. There's people who go, there's people who take business people to fucking massage parlors.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Who thinks that that's cool? I mean, I guess the guy's getting a hand job as part of a business meeting, which is, I mean, who are these people that are doing that? You know, former IHUG marketing guy. Well, I don't know about hand jobs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He used to talk about the sandwiches at Showgirls.
Being actual lunch foods made with bread and fillings.
Yeah.
Not some other thing.
No, not two ladies pressing their bodies against your body in between them.
Which probably happens. It's probably available.
Yeah, probably quite reasonably priced, actually, but you get a very limited amount of time with it.
Hmm.
Front and back.
Next story.
I'm just going to bang through stories very quickly.
Okay, I'm just going to, yeah, deal with that.
Knife in man's back for 3 years. So it's a Canadian guy. He was scratching his back when he felt with his finger something pointy, he reckons. And it turned out to be the tip of a 7.5-centimetre knife blade that had been stuck in his back since 2010 when he was stabbed during a brawl following an arm wrestling match, which is awesome. I bet he has a mullet. Do you reckon he's got a mullet? I bet he's got a mullet.
How many stabbings follow arm wrestling matches usually?
98% of them.
Oh.
Or maybe how many arm wrestling matches are followed by stabbings. Maybe it's better expressed that way around. Since then, his back set off prison metal detectors. So he's been in prison, I guess. And he's had pain, but claims that physicians told him it was nerve damage caused by the injury. But this week, he found a fucking knife sticking out of his back. I have a feeling that it's fakery. My hunch is actually that he, because this has come up as a story, because he is considering filing lawsuit against the health department, who told him that everything was all right.
So I had a great story.
Yeah.
I had a great story on another podcast, This American Life, about people standing in a shower, having a shower, and a few minutes into the shower, there's this noise, and they look down, and there's a coin on the floor of the shower.
Yeah.
And it turned out, after much investigation, what had actually happened... It wasn't some elaborate prank. What had happened is this guy had been, you know, going to having naps during the day in his college dorm.
Yeah.
Quite hot. So he'd take off his shirt, but leave his pants on, yeah, and just lie down. And while he was asleep, money would fall on the bed and then get stuck to his back and stay there for a period of time until he had a shower.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Awesome.
So did they think that someone had been above them and dropped a coin?
The first thought was it was in a story about coincidences that, and it happened to this one guy after he'd been talking to someone at his frat, I think,
yeah,
the day before or that day, who'd mentioned this happening, but not why it had happened, but having a coin just drop into the shower.
Hey, Dylan, Phil.
And thus it happened to him the next night, and it was a coincidence. It was very strange, because it happened that way. I can't, Phil. I think Morgan's gone to the toilet. He should have just killed the show. It's terrible. After the discussion of the fish, someone, Dale, has posted a photograph of what claims to be hypodontia, which is a human mouth full of many, many teeth. But it's fake. But it's disgusting. And I feel ill looking at it. But it's fake. I have no more stories because, you see, I stopped bringing stories to the show because it turns out that no matter how many I bring, Morgan brings 7 or 8 times more. And I simply don't have time for that.
Man, that was in the nick of time.
This episode, we've discussed, I see in the notes here, that if we count Bar Camp Special 209 BCA,
yep,
as an episode,
yep,
then this episode is episode 100.
Yep.
But if we don't count that episode, then this episode is 99,
yeah,
which would make next episode 100. However, I propose that either this episode is 101, or next episode will be 101.
Yeah.
Episode 100 will not occur until we have appropriate occasion to make a special episode 100.
All right.
It will not necessarily come in the appropriate sequence for, you know, numbers and stuff, but episode 100 will be episode 100.
I like the sound of that.
Yep.
So we can have episode 100 immediately before episode 200 if we like.
Yes, that's a good idea. We could hold on to it that long.
Maybe episode 100 could be our next election show.
Very, very possibly. For the live results for the Auckland National national body, Auckland local body elections.
So Dale in the chat room, Morgan didn't say what he was drinking this week. Is there a drinking game?
Hand shandy.
Yeah, I am actually. Yeah.
That's enough about that then.
Yeah. And that's why I had to rush off, because apparently if you have too many 1 litre steins of anything, every now and then you have to rush off.
I am shocked. Shocked to hear that, I tell you.
Yeah, who knew? I went and pissed on some American woman's leg just out in the hall. I just keep her there just for that purpose, exclusively.
How very convenient.
Yeah.
Next story.
How long should we expect Google keep to last? That was not very well read. How long should we expect Google keep to last? Google Keep is a thing. It's sort of like Evernote, apparently, but it's not as good.
I just discovered something called Google Currents when I'm looking through the App Store here.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
I've never seen it before. It looks like a Flipboard kind of thing.
Yeah, I've got that. I don't use it.
No, well, there you go. I won't either.
I use Flipboard. Because if you're going to use a Flipboard kind of thing, why wouldn't you use Flipboard?
I don't know. Have you played... Why are we still talking? Have you played 4 Picks, 1 Word?
No.
It's weirdly addictive, but I've stopped now. I've managed to break through.
How long does Google let projects and services live? So this is from The Guardian. Charles Arthur has totted up the lifespan of 39 products and services that Google has killed off in the past due to, they say, insufficient public interest.
Wasn't there some, I only saw the headline, I didn't read the story, but wasn't there some article that suggested part of the reason that Google Reader was killed off was...
privacy?
High cost of compliance for some privacy legal issues.
And that could be true, but just say it.
Well, I don't even know what those privacy legal issues are. Or anything about this at all, really.
Yeah. So, apparently, there's a 68% chance that Google Keep will be closed between April 2015 and February 2019. That's pretty long range. But, you know, that starts quite soon. Death Watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's... we put more and more stuff in the cloud with more and more businesses that we hope will stay alive, and we don't know what the fuck they'll do. But then again, this is true of anything. We hedge our computing lives on various companies in the hope that they will continue to support the products that we use, be it Apple or Microsoft or anyone else.
Microsoft let me down.
Well, and you think about Apple as well, like all those people who were heavily invested in Apple computers and PowerPC apps and things, and they at some point decided to make a change to Intel, which was non-backward compatible, that sort of thing.
I guess the thing is that with Google shutdowns, they just go away. But with something like a bad new operating system release, you just keep using the previous one.
Yeah, although at some point that becomes untenable. You know, there's a point at which you can no longer continue using an old computer for one reason or another or something like that. There's always going to be... for example, the software I use to edit video, right, Avid Media Composer, has been around for 25 years, I think.
And it's never been upgraded.
20 years? No, but...
it's exactly the same as that was released with a shitty interface.
Well, just about, but it has been upgraded many, many times, but it remains backward compatible the entire way.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You can open a sequence in a bin that was edited in like a really old version of Media Composer in a new version.
But that should be easy enough. You just have, the project opening thing be modularized, and it just detects the version that it's in, and it just launches an importer.
Oh, absolutely. But that particular functionality, I mean, when you think about what that must, the difficulty that must add to the development process, and how many companies don't do that.
Yeah.
They just, at some point draw a line in the sand and say no more. It's not really that different.
Yeah.
I mean, there must be, there are people who've got CDs and DVDs and floppy disks full of files that they can barely ever use again.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what you can use? Text files.
Well, yes, usually.
You can always open a text file. You just might not have wrapping.
Tape backups are an interesting one as well.
Yeah.
Because the tapes themselves, LTO tape, for example, is backward compatible all the way through. So an LTO 5 drive will read an LTO 1 tape. But the data on that tape, well, that's another thing, because the data on that tape is proprietary to whatever application wrote it.
Mm.
Anyway.
Have we got a toot bag?
No. No one said anything. Actually, that's not true. Someone said that I yawned and then made them yawn during the last show. Of course, if you haven't yawned throughout this show, you're not listening properly. It was VitsNZ, who's Dave Vits, who's actually a guy I work with and used to be on the BBSs a long time ago. He's not Dave Vits, he's Dave Parker. His Vits is his name.
Dave Vits.
Dave Vits. Vits was his internet, Twitter, internet-y kind of BBSy name.
Yeah. From James Brown at Pulp Door on Twitter. Your take on the response to feminist frequency was as if you were reading my mind. Had to pause iPod to tell you I'm grateful to know you.
I picked him up in my car the other day, gave him a little lift.
Thank you, James.
Just happened to bump into him at a traffic light.
Not literally. I had to go back and actually listen to it to figure out exactly what I'd said.
It all sounded pretty reasonable. I may have zoned out for that period of the show.
Yeah, all sounded like I was being very reasonable about that. Let's end the show
20 minutes ago.
Do we have any corrections?
Absolutely not. We have not made any mistakes.
Corrections.
Fish and chips.
Sorry, this show is cancelled. Beep.